The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. At that time there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jugs there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 70 or 100 liters. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water," and they filled them to the brim. Then he said to them, "Now draw out some and take it to the master of the feast." So they took it. And when the master of the feast tasted the water, it had now become wine. And he did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. The master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." This is the first of his signs Jesus did at Cana in Galilee, and he manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord. The scripture this evening is filled with wonderful imagery. We are told there is a wedding, but in fact we know very little about the details. We do not know the couple's name or anything of the surrounding circumstances. The stone water jugs that the Gospel mentions symbolize the ritual cleaning of the old religion. There are 6 of them, an imperfect number, as we know because the perfect biblical number is 7. The insistence of the old dispensation on external conformity to rituals and purifying rites has been left behind, like the jars with hearts of stone. The miracle of the wedding feast at Cana is Jesus' first miracle in the Gospel of John. It is a sign of messianic times. The courtship, the time of preparation, is over. The hearts of stone will be replaced with hearts of flesh. The best wine indicates the new era. This miracle drew the disciples towards Jesus and helped their belief. The courtship and the wooing of the Old Testament prepared for the wedding of the new covenant. If the stone jars symbolize the old dispensation, then the wine at the celebration banquet indicates the inauguration of the new dispensation. The banquet is ever fresh in the Eucharistic memory of Jesus. The banquet will find its ultimate climax and fulfillment in the sacrifice of Calvary. The Eucharistic celebration will be the way the memory is kept alive and lived by the community. When we read from the prophet Isaiah, it's usually a very uplifting and hope-filled text. That upbeat tone is very apparent in the first reading this evening. Isaiah says to the people that they will be called by a new name. They will no longer be called forsaken or desolate, but they will be my delight and their land married. So the allusion of the first reading works well with the Gospel, where we have a most unusual wedding. We have 2 bridegrooms, the one of the married couple and Jesus, the long-awaited bridegroom of Israel. The metaphor of courtship, marriage, and relationship is a common one in the Bible. It's common because it's within the experience of most people. It will transform the Jewish wedding from a private function into a great sign that shows that God will take his people to himself in a new way. Jesus has become the bridegroom to claim his bride, Israel. So the parable highlights the loving relationship we have with God. It is from his abundance, from his generosity, that we thrive in the Christian life. The wine, the quality and the quantity, attest to the fact that we are invited to a feast that is generous. We as present-day Christians must guard against trying to reduce the benevolence of God or think that we can ration out God's generous love. Blessed are those who thirst for the new wine that Jesus offers. The old is the promise, the new is the fulfillment. He conveys these gifts through human beings. This is very eloquently taken up in the second reading, where Paul is celebrating all the different gifts that are at the disposal of the community. We are constantly challenged to use the gifts that we have and to put them at the service of the community. It may be our family, the community we live in, or the wider community. Mary also has a very interesting role in the parable. Although not mentioned by name, but referred to as the mother of Jesus and woman. There is only one other place in the Gospel where John mentions Mary. This is at the crucifixion, when he entrusts Mary to the beloved disciple. Mary is the new Eve whose obedient faith models how to reconcile God and humanity. So the whole revelation of the mission and the ministry of Jesus is manifest through the experience of the gathered community of the disciples of the Lord and the birth of a new reality in the context of the Jewish past. You'll see from the newsletter, our second collection this evening is for the work of the Society of the Protection of the Unborn Child, and Gerard's going to say just a few words about the work that they do.
Good evening. My name is Gerard McIver, and today I'm here to ask your help for the Society for the Protection of Unborn Children, SPUC, or SPUC. SPUC are the oldest pro-life group in the world. They do great work. They go into schools and give amazing talks. They work with pro-life politicians at Holyrood and Westminster. They campaign tirelessly to build a culture of life in our society where every human being has equal value from the moment of conception until natural death. And SPUC also help women after an abortion experience. They have a great offshoot called ARCH, A-R-C-H, stands for the Abortion Recovery Care Helpline. It provides a number women can call 7 days a week, 365 days a year, to talk and start the process of help and healing. If you know anyone who has been affected by abortion, catch me afterwards and I can give you some more information. We know that life is a precious gift from God, but Pope Francis often reminds us how easily human life is dismissed as a solution to society's problems. These problems have better solutions than abortion, and SPUC works tirelessly to provide the necessary protection for unborn children and their mothers in Scotland and throughout the UK. But for all their good work, SPUC get no government money. They don't have any millionaires writing checks for them. A lot of the funds come from churches like this up and down the country. So if you're able to, please do support them in the second collection today. And together, we'll work for a day when no woman is unloved, no child is unwanted, and the pressures which lead to abortion no longer exist. Thank you.
So we'll take that second collection after communion. Let's now stand and together profess our faith.